God, there are so many podcasts to listen to. I'm having like one of those Netflix indecision moments. What do you think I should listen to?
Oh, you definitely need to listen to nerdfunnel.com.
But where does he listen to that?
Nerdfunnel.com, or hit us up on any of our social media channels. I mean, hit it up on youtube.com/nerdfunnel. Honestly,
could I find you on facebook.com/nerdfunnel?
Any.com/nerdfunnel, you'll probably fucking find us. Or at nerdfunnel if you're like a Twitter or Instagram dude.
Okay.
And it's so much fun at fucking nerdfunnel.com. You will find articles and podcasts and all sorts of stuff that will funnel right into your more than willing ear holes. And honestly, your eye holes at this point.
Awesome. Because I got really tired of scrolling through all these podcasts.
Well, I'm not just going to go onto youtube.com/nerdfunnel and just have something funneled into my eye hole, am I?
What's wrong with getting something shoved into your eye hole? There's plenty of Japanese girls who are really into it.
You guys, I just went to nerdfunnel.com and I liked what was going in my eye hole. Oh, I think I'm going to check out what's going to go in my
so
ear hole.
So sexy. So sexy.
Weird, isn't it? Am
no.
I? Am I?
Well, let's go ahead and find out what's coming in my ear hole right now. Hey guys, you know that that Darth Vader is Luke's father?
Whoa, spoiler alert!
Yeah. Did you know that the human head weighs 8 pounds?
Spoilers!
Did you know that Snape kills Dumbledore?
Ah!
Did you know that if you listen to our cast, you might get something spoiled? Just a warning, wanted to give you a heads up. So, Steven, I know your head just exploded, I'm sorry.
Do you want spoilers? You will.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So don't stop me now.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Nerd Funnel. We take all the nerd news of the world and funnel it into your more than willing ear holes. I'm Bob Shway, and with me tonight is Steven.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
And Ivan.
It's pronounced Jif.
Gotcha. I'll keep that in mind. Wow,
that's
Smash Mouth.
Fucking terrible. Oh, yeah, Smash Mouth. Fucking amazing, right?
Wow, Smash Mouth parody. All right. We're back this week. We're fresh off of seeing Hardcore Henry.
Hardcore.
Actually, that was the original name, was just going to be Hardcore, but they decided it was too provocative, so they wanted
really?
To, yeah.
Provocative, really?
I know, for a movie that was just all titties and gunfights.
There wasn't that many titties, were there?
Yeah,
there
in the Russian whorehouse.
Yeah.
There were titties, like, everywhere.
I guess. Yeah, like, I guess I didn't think about that.
Spoilers!
It was hard to see because there was so motion.
Yes. Yeah. Spoilers for Hardcore Henry, boobs and violence.
But you can't see any of it.
Yeah.
So, we saw Hardcore Henry. That movie was fun. It wasn't substantive. It wasn't rewarding or edifying. It was just a lot of fun.
Right. And and before we dive into this too deep, we are going to be able to spoil this movie.
Yeah,
so everyone,
spoil it up.
Oh, go. We already have the bumper. They already heard the bumper.
Yeah, okay. We put the bumper on there. So I feel like this movie was a movie based on a video game that never got made. And
or like a training mission from one of the original Call of Duties.
Yeah, basically.
I love that there was like even moments where it's like they're doing the tutorial of like, see those grenades over there? Go pick them up.
Yeah, right?
That's exactly what that was.
It was awesome. No. It was so cool.
Yeah, there was like a tutorial mode.
Yeah.
So cool.
Or where like, even like she's calibrating him at the beginning where she's like, it's almost like it reminds
look
me of
left.
Like, right.
Look
right.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like RoboCop kind of like too, where
so
they like
good.
Track the pen, tracking mode, like.
See, I loved this movie. I thought it was so fucking fun. Like, I've defined fun on this podcast multiple times now. And, like, this was fun. This is just pure fun.
Adding it to one of the definition lists.
Definition, Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
Like, just cotton candy. There's nothing substantive about it. There's nothing smart about it. It's just fun.
It's just a lot of fun. It was a little, sometimes it was a little hard to watch. Just because, like, it was overwhelming.
I
feel
like I was in physical discomfort the whole time.
You like, two motherfuckers with weak constitutions and shit.
Listen, fuck off.
No, no, I didn't mind. I think I just need a couple more breaks in between the action scenes.
Oh, it was, like, too much of the jarring motion.
Yeah, a little bit. I think it needed to maybe, like, one or two more slower parts to, like, kind of break it up.
Any slow part there was, it was interrupted by jump cuts.
Yeah.
Just seriously. To get you through it.
Well, and but the jump cuts were there for reasons, because who wants to see him just, like, trying to catch up to somebody or, like, it was jump cutting to things like...
Well, if you did it, like, interesting, like, the way that they did it was fast-paced,
mm-hmm.
cupping a really high tempo, but if, like, if done correctly, those, that long lead-up could probably give you, one, the rest that you want, and two, build tension.
Yeah. The plot, the only real, like, break times were when they were getting plot dump. Like when
yeah.
you were,
yeah.
it was
exposition,
like, it was like action, plot dump exposition, action, plot dump exposition. But there wasn't enough, like,
there's not enough plot for right,
there's not exactly. enough plot for it to make a good pace between action and plot. So
the funny part is about that is that, like, you were looking at like 80-90% like action.
Yeah.
And there was, like, only that small 10% was actual, like, plot dump.
Yeah, seriously.
But I loved it, though. I loved the fact that... because it reminded me in that way of, like, Pacific Rim. Of, like, it's a no-frills movie. It's, like, it is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Pacific Rim, you get Idris Elba sounding great.
Right.
Well, yeah. Then in this one, you get
Charlton Copley sounding fucking great.
Yeah.
This
like,
is
killing
kind of,
it.
This is a lot of Charlton Copley just kind of jacking off. I mean, he was, like, just hamming it up. Like, whatever he wanted to fucking do. He was, like, playing multiple different characters. Yep.
I mean, there's a real interesting conceit throughout the movie of him getting killed multiple times and then constantly just coming back. It's so fucking fun.
And
like, he has so much fun doing it.
It was fun. And the reveal of why later on is fun. Just kind of a quick plot summary. You wake up in the first person persona of Henry out of this, like, goo, like kind of like Neo does in
Matrix.
Your wife, who is also your biomechanical engineer or something like that, tells you that you are being calibrated and that you're a work of engineering marvel. And then the guy who funded her research breaks in with a bunch of other dudes and tries to, like, capture you. You escape out of this, like, it's like a blimp. Was it a blimp?
Yeah.
It's like a blimp research facility.
You can't really tell.
No, it's, yeah, some type of floating laboratory.
Some type of airship. I don't know. Like, yeah.
And there's some vaguely, like, Northern European guy with psychic powers that's doing bad stuff to people.
Which they never explain. He's got, like, this, like telekinesis.
Which is perfect.
Never explained why he has that.
Because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Well, it's obviously, like, the future or near future, and, like, there are cyborgs.
Right.
Like, you fall out of a fucking blimp out of the escape pod and basically survive. So, I mean,
right.
And then Jimmy, who is Charlton Copley, in his many different incarnations. So Jimmy has, like, kind of a hipstery kind of.
He's got, like, a Serpico thing when you first see him. Like, it sounded like he was doing Jason Statham.
Yeah,
was the
yeah.
first right, right. the first incarnation of him, like the undercover Jason Statham cop. It was awesome. I loved it.
I was surprised that, like, at no point did he pull out his Southern American or Southern African accent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I liked it.
He went through a bunch of different accents, though. Yeah. It was really cool.
I like the old British soldier, too.
That was
that
my
was
favorite.
Awesome.
He had the old kind of turn of the century, khakis, British hunter
World
garb.
World War II era, like, colonel.
Yeah. He had the hardcore soldier guy. He had the kind of brainiac, nerdy dude. He had the hippie.
I like the punk rock dude.
The punk rock guy.
One was pretty dope.
He had the Scarface. He had the Tony Montana coke fueled crazy in the Russian whorehouse.
The bum. He had the drunken bum.
The drunken bum. Yeah. So there's all a bunch of incarnations of him, and they assist you along your pathing
Henry's path.
In the game.
Yeah.
Or spoiler movie. Alert, at the end, they'd basically turn him into Big Boss.
Yeah, basically.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, it's like Metal Gear Solid 1, where, like, Big Boss serves the template for all these...
Oh, yeah. Okay. All
like,
these
fucking
the
genome soldiers
shit. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's basically the first in the line of cybernetic, like, cyborg soldier, and they're programming his memories out to be used for implementation in all the soldiers, and they needed to recapture him. And plot, 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 blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, it's basically the classic video game trope of, like, the princess gets captured, who is your scientist wife, mm-hmm. and Henry is just tearing across the city to try to save her.
In this, it takes place in Russia. It's like Eastern Europe.
Right.
And it's Tim Roth. So, like, all his shit takes place in Eastern Europe. Like Hostel and Hostel 2 and all that shit.
Tim Roth was in Hostel?
Didn't he direct it?
No, that's Eli Roth.
Eli Roth. Why am I thinking...
Tim Roth was in Hoodlum
and Reservoir Dogs.
Oh yeah, and Tim Roth Pulp is Fiction. Yeah, and Tim Roth is plays the flashback memory of Henry's father.
Right.
In this Say one. The goddamn words. You're not gonna die.
But the editing job in this film was amazing.
Yeah, it was so clean.
The shot set up, like, it must have been. It was a technical marvel cinematography wise, I think. To have all these shots set up, and then there's a lot of just like free running, and mm-hmm. some of that shit was real and some of that shit was not real as far as the free running goes. It was hard to tell the difference.
When he's scaling the side of the building was really cool.
That was very good.
Yeah. That was really cool.
A lot of free running sequences.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Sold it. And then just like a lot of awesome gunplay, a lot of knife stabbing, some very visceral killing. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the most violent movies I've ever seen in my life.
The only thing I would say that the majority of the violence and the action works in it. The only things that didn't work for me was when he's doing hand-to-hand combat, it doesn't translate super well because you can't quite see what's happening and you don't understand the main character's placement in relation to the other players. Right. So it feels like it feels a little disjointed.
A lot of times he'll come and like pick up like something to stab someone, but you don't never see what he grabs. And right. then someone ends up dead, and you're like, well, how did that happen? And also because the color palette itself, from a technical standpoint, I have to disagree with you, Bobby.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
I think there were issues.
Coloring issues?
Well, the color palette is – it almost looks like straight-up raw footage out of the GoPros mm-hmm. that they were using. And
was that actually what they used to shoot?
Yeah. Well, there was a couple different rigs. I read an article that said they had to make the technology work as they were going along, because at first it started above the eye line and then they had to like reverse it to go below the chin.
Okay.
And they were running into so many problems, and basically it was just all of it was like duct tape filmmaking.
That's cool though.
Yeah, it is cool, but like the problems is like the reason why the director's first entry into this, which was the music video,
yeah
that everybody has seen on YouTube, works.
What music video is this?
It's actually
so
what,
not everybody.
Everybody but Steven, like always. The reason why that particular music video and why this movie got made was because, honestly, these cameras don't work very well when there's not a lot of light. And in this movie, there is not a lot of light.
It was actually kind of hard to do. The coloring was off, especially in that the Russian whorehouse.
Yeah.
Because that was really dark in there.
And it's hard to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the impact is lost because of overly shaky shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you run, you already have like built-in image stabilization into your head.
Yeah.
So like you can still sort of see a steady image. And the fact that it's just too dark and you can't see what's going on, you just see things fall, you just see movement.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just catching a blur.
Right. There's no like an appreciation to the movement.
I see.
But I think like the intricacy of a lot of the action kind of works as far as like the gunplay goes, because there's enough of like you see the hand kind of pointing a gun at something, you see mm-hmm. the flash, and then you see them fall. So like it's a little bit easier to digest than like the hand-to-hand stuff or like the really jarring free-running stuff where mm-hmm. like the chase scenes where like he's chasing someone down, and it's a much more tough to follow what's happening there to me than like, you know, in like the whorehouse gun battle mm-hmm. was like a lot easier to just kind of follow and play with
mm-hmm.
and kind of be okay with, I guess.
I want to ask you about this, guys. Did you like, I feel like part of the reason, and you bring up a very excellent point, like it's very plotted out,
right.
All the action. Mm-hmm. And I like that. The choreography put into this is tremendous.
Right. And the timing.
timing is fantastic, yeah. Because especially if you have to make it work in that medium, right. In the first person, it's extremely difficult. And I'm like, there's, don't get me wrong, like technical, logical feat. But here's my question is like, because it was first person and a lot of stuff happening, did you feel a disconnect because you were expecting some sort of feedback? Because when you're doing it, if you're playing a video game, if you're playing a console, you get vibration. Or if you're playing it on PC, you get a red flash. Because there's points where, like, somebody would... When he trips over, like, the toolbox...
What?
In the when he gets thrown off the freeway, goes into the, the crate, and there's a car there. He trips over a toolbox, and he's just like, oh, that hurts. Like,
yeah, that was disjointing to me.
So, like, in my head, I was just like, I should have some sort of feedback about pain right now.
Yeah.
Same like whenever he gets stabbed and shit.
Yeah, see, like, the him taking damage didn't really bother me, because I was like, well, it's a movie. I'm not going to experience it. But, like, when the toolbox one is the one that threw me. Where, like, I realized that he kicked something, and then he's like he gives some type of, like, reaction. Hand motion of, like, oh, God, that hurt. But I didn't understand, like there was a disconnect there for me. Like, I didn't quite understand what had happened, and then I played it back in my head, and I was like, okay, I guess that's what happened. But it takes
you out of the moment.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah. But I don't know how they would have remedied that. Like, just, like, a red flash on the screen.
That's yeah, what I was thinking. But, like, I was like, how – I was asking the same question, and, like – Do you think of
how would you do that? Like, little bar go down on the side, like your heart piece go away.
Yeah, you're entering like Scott Pilgrim territory at that point.
I mean, I guess a counter argument would be that, like, well, he's a cyborg, so maybe they've conditioned him not to feel pain, so it just doesn't.
But he does. He reacts to it because he reacts to stubbing his toe. Because he makes like some kind of like
Then when they pull the tracker out of it, but like right at the end, the very ending scene when he's like peels his chest back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt anymore. And then he got shot like 3 times by that girl at the end inside the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know, I think it was a mixture of sound. That one, there was more feedback to it. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that was the sound mix on it. Yeah, it was. And I think he plays it differently that time. Like, you don't see like the kind of almost comedic flailing. It's more of just like I think when he gets hit, the camera like nudges slightly, so you feel the impact of it,
right?
More than that one, where it's like it's already so frantic, and then suddenly he frantically kind of trips and he plays like this weird moment, and so it takes you out of like the way that it's the you're processing the film.
Yeah, I concur. I think that also, yeah, especially when the melee things, when he's getting like hit like physically in the head or the side, like your vision jars in a way that they can't be replicated on the camera. Like, you lose focus, and they didn't change the focus of his vision. They just kind of jarred the camera. So it kind
of... Were you looking for some sort of cue?
I was looking for, like, you know how a lot... I mean, they'll do it in video games where, like, if you get clubbed in the head, like, your vision will blur, and they didn't do the blurring thing as much. And that could be because, like, well, his eyeballs are fake. Like, I mean, he at several points during this movie, he gets detached retinas.
I thought that was a really clever,
which
like,
was pretty cool.
That's a really good cheat.
Running joke.
Yeah. It was a good cheat, too, for, like, why you don't get the blurring and why, like, you know, he's able to, why you're seeing it the way you're seeing it is because he's got cybernetic eyes.
Yeah, they did try to, like, create some in-world, in-movie rules about why there might be some discrepancies between how we perceive things and how he does.
Right. And I appreciated that they weren't just like, oh, you're a super soldier.
Yeah.
That's just what you do. Like, you're just that guy. So I appreciated that part of it.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Instead, he's just like someone who's like, I'm not going to give up.
I liked that.
I like it too.
I dug the
the ending moral.
Yeah, I really did.
You know me, I dig that too. But I know so many people like, oh, I thought it was like special or something, and that would rub people's gonads the wrong way.
A cyborg that still has a little, you know, oh, I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna get a little moral core going here.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, it was awesome. I
Gattaca 100%.
I also got to give him the props for the use of Don't Stop Me Now at the end.
Yep.
That was my favorite
ending
part.
Fight scene. The adrenaline, Don't Stop Me Now was awesome.
That was great.
Yes. Yeah.
And they hit the music cues perfectly.
Yeah, that was fucking amazing.
So good. Who was the girl in the movie? The scientist girl, the wife.
I don't know.
She reminds me of kind of like a Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought it was right at the beginning too. She looks a lot like Jennifer. It's not her though.
She's a little thinner through the her facial structure.
Face isn't
thinner.
As round as Jennifer Lawrence has got kind of.
But
round
like
face.
Same kind of like same eyes and.
Lips were similar too.
Yeah, like she has a very similar look, and I feel like I've seen her in something recently, but I don't know what exactly.
Her name is Haley Bennett.
Haley Bennett. What has she been in?
Uh-oh. Now I think you're
the Wi-Fi issues.
Crapping out.
Yeah. See.
Huh.
We're exposing the Nerd Funnel HQ technical problems. Our budget limitations here. We have shitty Wi-Fi.
She was in Marley and Me.
What's Marley and Me?
It's the one with
Wilson, Jennifer Aniston about the dog,
about
the golden retriever.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, she's in the Magnificent Seven upcoming. The
Does she play one of the seven? Seven has to be
that
a girl.
That would be dope. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Are personally. We gonna? I mean, okay, we're gonna sidetrack this for a second.
Yeah.
In the Magnificent Seven remake that they're gonna do, are they gonna do a like? All colors of the rainbow type of situation with the Magnificent
Seven. No, I don't
think
so.
You don't think so? Well,
probably not.
You could take a look, but do any of these movies look familiar to you?
She's
in Music and Lyrics with Hugh Grant.
What's the hole?
Well, I could tell you, but we can't do it on the cast.
Which hole are we talking about? Is it a More Than Willing Ear Hole?
Nerdfunnel.com.
I don't know what the hole is.
I don't know. I don't know what I would.
But she was in The Equalizer with
Denzel.
Yeah.
She was kicking it with Zell, huh? Okay. Yeah. So I'm curious. You guys don't think that they're gonna do like a Colors of the Rainbow, Magnificent Seven? You think it's gonna be like kind of all white guys again?
They're in post. Let's have a look.
Who do they got working on this one?
Haley's
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, really?
Vincent D'Onofrio. Denzel. Oh, we got Denzel in there. Wow, Ethan Hawke, Peter Sarsgaard, mostly white guys.
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah. Oh, Byung-Hun Lee.
Wow.
Wow.
We actually got an Asian in there.
Well, of course.
Wow.
He's building
the
railroads.
All right. Even though it's a...
Fantastic.
It's Korean. What's his name? I'm willing to bet he's supposed to be Chinese.
Byung-Hun Lee? I don't know.
No, what's his character's name?
Billy Rocks.
Billy Rocks.
Billy Rocks.
We got ourselves a little bit of a rainbow.
Yeah, they're kind of multiculturalizing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they need to for Magnificent Seven? For a Magnificent Seven.
Now?
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, after the whole, like, white Oscars bullshit, I think...
Magnificent Seven ain't going to win an Oscar.
No, man. No, but I'm thinking they're...
Not this Magnificent
they'll
Seven,
probably They probably will. Yeah. They probably will. There would be a hoopla if they weren't.
But at the same time, there's a fine line. And I know I've been on the side of, like, we need more fucking diversity, and we do, but there's, like... It's
a point where it can go too far.
Yeah, if it pulls you out of the moment, and I think that sort of thing pulls you out of the moment.
Yeah. Well, I guess my problem with it would just generally be like, okay, if you're doing a Western, given what the times were like in that period, you have to be like at least accurate about like, would these white guys be willing to hang out with a woman and a black dude and an Asian dude and have them in their posse? You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense to the story? And
exactly.
If it does, like, that's fine. I have no problem with it. But, like, I mean, does it realistically make sense?
Right, right. It's like, again, it's how... If that thing pulls you out, it's no longer immersive.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's world-breaking.
Well, and in modern stories, sure, like, woman scientist, black scientist, Asian scientist, that makes sense.
Right.
Like, anybody could be a scientist, but... In today's world,
yeah.
But like if you're doing like scientist in like the 1600s, and you're doing like medieval scientist, and suddenly there's
and they don't believe in the world being the center of the earth,
right?
The world being the center of the earth,
and like phrenology and like fucking shit is still like considered science. Where they're
phrenology,
it's where they read the bumps on your skull.
Wait, did you say world being the center of the earth?
I know, I pointed that out. How terribly?
Okay. You mean the earth?
Keep drinking. But yeah, like phrenology is the where they look at the bumps on your head.
I thought
and
that was
they,
called something else.
No. Hmm. But anyway, so like in that time, they're probably not women scientists,
right,
and black
yeah.
scientists and Asian scientists in medieval Europe if
right,
they're doing like
right,
a night
right.
movie, you know, like
yeah.
that type of shit. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, but I mean, Denzel's in it. I'm gonna watch it. I mean,
because it's Denzel,
dude. I started Inside Man the other day. Have you guys seen Inside Man?
No, yeah, I haven't.
Long time ago, so I forgot how it worked. Well, they were literally inside.
It's so good.
Let's wrap up Hardcore Henry. So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Super, like, tons of fun. I would recommend it. If you like first-person shooters, if you like games, if you like action movies, I would definitely go check it out.
Yeah, there's not really any... I mean, if... I guess the people who shouldn't watch it are people who get motion sickness.
Yeah.
People looking for, like, deep characterization or, like...
Or are just offended by hyperviolence or...
But you know what? Even, like, some of the twists in it, like, I was kind of down with. Like, yeah. I actually thought that some of the twists in the movie were pretty clever, like, plot-wise. I mean... They like
saw
like,
it coming.
The Charlton Copley?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess I was just having fun with it. I wasn't really trying to. This was not a movie. Go into this movie and don't try to get ahead of it. Like,
the, you know what this movie is like?
Mm.
Shoot 'em up.
Yes.
With Clive.
Oh,
Bowen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
This is a very similar type of movie. We're like, don't try to get ahead of it. Just play it.
It is what it is. I thought
Shoot 'em up is a fucking great movie.
It's phenomenal.
I thought perhaps that the whole Charlton Copley thing was his because they were messing with his memories. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe he was like seeing things non-sequentially, like it was like a unreliable narrator, but it was all chronological. It was just the fact that Charlton Copley was different incarnations of himself. Like, it wasn't.
I thought they were gonna reveal at the end that you actually are in a video game.
Yeah.
Oh wait, what?
You are in a video game simulation.
Oh, I thought they were gonna reveal that all because there's so many different ones. It was gonna be like, oh, obviously clones, and then it was like, oh, he's gonna look in a mirror and realize that he's Charlton Copley.
Oh, that he's one of them. Like I was hoping they were.
I'm Charlton Copley. I'm Charlton Copley.
I was hoping they weren't going to do that, and I'm glad they didn't, because that would have actually taken
fun.
Me out of it.
You know, I
but no, it was
the
good.
The twist that they came the up with for him was fun. I thought the ending twist was fun. Like, yeah, I liked it. I liked it the whole way through. It was a fun. It was not. It's not a deep movie. It's not like fucking crazy plot exposition. It's not the best twist I've ever seen, but it's fun. You know,
yeah,
for that
good.
Type of movie, it had more plot than Shoot 'em Up. So I'm, you know,
yeah. I'd recommend it on a bit of a backstory.
What would you recommend?
I was just saying I'd recommend this people that like good action movies with a little bit of plot twist and or fans of first person shooters. Like, can you name a gun or an armament they did not use? There's tanks, helicopters, motorcycles, trucks, shotguns, handguns, silencers, sniper rifles.
They had a sneaking scene. They had a Metal Gear Solid style
Metal
sneaking
Gear Solid
scene.
Sneaking
and,
scene.
Oh, they had a sniper rifle scene.
Yeah,
sniper rifle scene.
They had chain gun scene. They had the Doom chain gun scene on the motorcycle.
They had a chase scene. They had a fetch quest.
Rocket
like,
launchers.
They literally had a fetch quest.
Yeah.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah. Like, it's just every video game trope. It's awesome.
Rocket launchers, bazooka, Tommy
gun.
They
even have, like, a fucking katana.
Yeah. Katana desk. I was making a mental list.
Sexy girls with machine guns and katanas. Like,
it fills all the checkboxes.
Yeah. It's every, like, gamer's kind of just, like, GTA player, Metal Gear Solid-ish kind of player. Because it's got a somewhat incomprehensible plot, like Metal Gear Solid.
Good play. Well done.
Involving enigmatic and disassociative identities. And
pseudoscience bullshit,
yeah. And cyborgs.
Yeah. And it's obviously like Call of Duty stuff. So,
yeah.
it's a real fun movie.
If you like those
gamers.
Things, you can go see it. You'll be glad you spent the money. It's
I'm going to say don't waste your money.
Oh.
Wait till you can get it for, I mean, if you want to.
On Oculus Rift.
how good would this movie be in VR?
I would throw
it. It would be interesting. A lot better.
Like, if you could, like, look around free while all this is going on, mm-hmm. like 360
cool.
camera it would be really cool, I think.
But at the same time, don't waste your money. Torrent it and put that $12.75 or more.
No, don't torrent it.
Dude, fuck that.
I don't want people torrenting it.
Like, put that money that you could have spent on that ticket towards buying a video game because it's the exact same experience. If this checks all the boxes of, like, the video game experience, I think part of the reason why I felt a little empty coming out of it is because I would have liked to have interacted, which is why those moments where, like, I wasn't getting feedback necessarily, it was jarring.
Haptic in your chair?
Not haptic necessarily, but, like, I mean,
cool.
It's always nice to have a little haptic in my pants, but
yeah.
haft in your ass, maybe. Like, it's a chair, bro.
But because it's, like, first person, I found my eyes trying to, like, get more information from the world. But because it's you're forced to look in a direction, you're
not controlling it.
Yeah, you don't get any more control or information from what's going on around you. And I think you might as well save your money.
See, I would go the opposite way of, like, I think that these filmmakers are very creative and very inventive.
Absolutely.
So they need to be supported. And, like, you should give your dollars to them because they're going to come up with some, like, even if this is not necessarily your cup of tea, they're going to come up with something else cool.
Yeah.
And I want to give them money so that way they have money next time, or they have the faith of the studio next time, mm-hmm. to make something else fucking cool.
Good point.
# Metroid movie. Not like Metroid, not like
Prime the movie.
Not like Nintendo's ever gonna let that happen. But
oh, they even had platforming in this.
Yep, they did.
With the floating dead bodies where he platforms up.
That's right.
That was like the Metroidest shit ever. That was awesome.
Yeah, there's a part where the psychic dude is levitating dead bodies and Hardcore Henry uses them to platform up to him. And it's fucking
beautiful.
Pretty dope.
It was great.
They literally hit at almost all every notes, video game trope you can think of. It's pretty awesome.
The only thing they didn't have was a save point.
Yeah, they didn't have a save point. Well, although he gets like a safe house at one point.
That's
kind
true.
Of. But I mean, it's pretty just fun.
It was like, if you're a gamer, you're gonna enjoy this.
I like a musical number. Yeah. Now that I remember.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
That was fun.
And they had I like that. You know what? I imagine the way that they kind of like shoot through the exposition scenes in this very quickly. Mm-hmm. It's almost like people who fast forward through cutscenes to get to the next shooting part.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it is to me.
Those are your save points, I would.
Right, argue. Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's where the game auto-saves
for
you.
Okay, I got you.
You see, it would be better if they had a little Hardcore Henry sign in the corner spinning while. Yeah. That would be awesome.
All right.
I would recommend.
Me too. So 2 out of 3.
That means Nerd Funnel recommends.
Save your
Nerd
money.
Funnel from the Funnel crew. So big news this week coming out. We did a lot of posts on the Facebook site this week.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. Everyone was posting
so much
it
that
up.
We doubled it.
So much that we doubled it. Well, one of the things that I was most excited about that you guys probably aren't as much was that they announced the Star Trek, the setting of the new Star Trek series that's going to come out next year.
I actually didn't hear anything about that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay. So they're going to set it. So
I heard about it. I didn't give a shit about it, though.
Yeah. Steven has no fucks given about this one, but...
It's okay. I'll play along.
Important to me is that it's going to be set after Star Trek VI Undiscovered Country, but before Star Trek Next Generation. So it's going to be interim between the old series and the new series. And a lot of people were like, oh, let down. They should push it out like into the future. Like, it should be beyond whatever's been done. And I kind of agree, because Star Trek has always been about boldly going into the future.
Right.
But what they said is that this is going to be kind of like a miniseries, so it's going to be more like short, like 13-episode arc. But then they said it's going to be serialized in a way that like the first season is going to take place at that time period, but then the next season is not necessarily going to be...
So it's like an anthology
series? It's going to be anthologized, yeah. So it's going to be like American Horror Story.
Yeah.
See, I think that's smart.
Are they going to do it the same way with like the same... actors playing different characters?
I don't know. They didn't mention that at all.
I hope not, because it worked really well in a True Detective.
So it's going to be in the not the JJ verse. It's going to be
in the Prime universe.
The Prime universe, the original timeline, and they're going to jump, I think, from season to season in different parts of the timeline.
I think that'd
God,
be great.
I think that's pretty cool.
I didn't even think about that. There is now like a Universe 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's like a DC Comics Crisis of Infinite Earth type
situation. There's Star Trek JJ and Star Trek Prime.
Yep.
I wonder if they're ever going to do a Crisis where the two like intersect, where like
they have before.
Well, I know they did it in
original series.
Right, Generations, where it's like original series meets like Picard meets
No, Kirk. No, no. I mean like there's an alternate universe that comes
in. Oh, like evil fucking evil spot.
Where they all have beards.
Oh god, they need to have the mirror universe.
No, but
mirror universe needs to make a comeback.
Like, do you think they're ever going to do one where Shatner meets...
No, I mean, I don't think any of the original series Crass is coming back for the series at all.
I think it should move away because that universe is so rich.
Yeah, they need to start moving along.
This, you know what this could do is if we can get enough like traction behind it, maybe this is the way that Axanar gets shown.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the fan made one.
The fan film.
Yeah, it's great. It's
fantastic. Really
good at, world building and lore.
Mm-hmm.
Would I be into it?
I don't know.
You're not a big Star Trek person. So.
It is about the ship to ship warfare kind of thing.
It's battle heavy.
Yeah.
So okay. It is. I think you might enjoy
space
battle.
I might be into it.
Yeah. It's not so much about the.
But you don't really have a
philosophical aspect.
But you don't really have the weight of, like, you haven't watched all the episodes and gone through the journeys with the different races and characters from these races, where you might have feel the weight of and significance of these battles, like
gotcha.
Why they're happening, and the emotions you carry in the battle with you.
And it better informs the setting for the original series.
It sets the stage for the original Kirk. Five-year mission, you know, a lot better. But so that we have to look forward to. I'm super stoked about that. Doctor Strange trailer dropped this week.
Whitewashing.
Hashtag whitewashing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the ancient one is played by Tilda Swinton.
She's as white as they come.
White as they come. And
but Tilda Swinton's pretty fucking awesome. Like, I give Tilda Swinton like
so is ScarJo.
Talk about her in a minute.
She's not Tilda Swinton levels of awesome to me. Like, I would watch a movie, and I'm being completely serious, where like she wears blackface and plays a black hair, like Tropic Thunder's it, because mm-hmm. she is an actress who's good enough that she could pull that off.
Yeah, she's amazing. I really liked her when it was Constantine as Gabriel.
Yeah,
that was a beautiful awesome. Job.
That's so weird that you mentioned it. I just watched that maybe a week ago.
She's good at it. Really fucking good
that
movie.
I
think it's underrated. Way underrated.
I like her in it.
Keanu wasn't a great John Constantine.
No. I thought he was.
Well, did you ever read the comics? You weren't.
I didn't.
Okay, yeah.
But I like everything about it, and I was like, well, I could get into it, and I really did like the TV series a lot.
Speaking of that
guy looked like a better Constantine because he's supposed to look like Sting. Constantine is based on Sting.
Speaking of that, Constantine is supposed to be coming back either to DC Legend of Tomorrow. Or to
he was in Flash.
No, they crossed over.
Yeah,
Green Arrow.
Was it Green Arrow?
I think he might be coming to Legend of Tomorrow.
Is that like
as a regular?
Is that confirmed? Because like I heard they were retiring that, and people. Were
I think he's going to be in
because
I think they're not going to keep the same legends throughout the whole series. They're going to kill off some and bring in others.
Right, as they get more expensive, they're going to get the cheap Legends of Tomorrow.
how do you think that works? Like bringing in magic into that. Story.
Well, they got time travel.
Well, but that's
you got time travel. You got a shrinky guy. You got all.
It's
that
still
shit.
sciencey.
Well, and they got Hawk Girl. Hawk Girl is immortally reincarnated, so they've got that going there. Their main antagonist is Vandal Savage, who is an immortal. So you've got like Lazarus Pit shit going on too with White Canary. So I mean, there's some magic shit going on there too. There's magic in Marvel Universe. We got Doctor Strange coming up.
Right.
So we got Doctor Strange.
And you got, like, fucking infinity gems throughout all the Marvel Universe. Like, it's magic. Like,
no, I mean, just for Legends of Tomorrow specifically, because that seems so much more of, like, a sci-fi universe as opposed to, like, a fantasy, for lack of a better word.
I think it's a good mix, because, like, in the Legends of Tomorrow, you got White Canary, who was reincarnated in the Lazarus
And
pit.
I guess
I mean, time travel's fucking magic, dude.
No,
like,
it's
more
science-y.
That's the tech. Firestorm is more tech.
It might as well
tech.
Be fucking magic. Like, I mean, we can't actually time travel. It might as well be fucking magic.
See, here's the way I look at it. DC's going more with the TV show. Like, the Legend of Tomorrow is more magic, whereas, like, Marvel's doing a good job bringing in the magic element. That's why I'm curious about this Doctor Strange trailer, because we're getting, like...
And Iron Fist.
And some Inception-style shit going in there, like, world-changing, perception, reality-changing. We had Ant-Man introduce the whole quantum reality, Pym particle shit going on. So we've got a good science... Build
well,
up, and then you
all
got
of it
magic
is like
going too.
Eastern mysticism is
yeah,
all of it, all of it.
Yep. So in the
and
in
they
the,
couldn't bother to, they don't want to diversify so to the point where they would just take one part that could be open to an Asian dude and just fucking, you know, toss it to
Tilda Swinton knocked his astral ass on his astral ass in the trailer, And he doesn't speak too much in the trailer, but...
He does. He's like, he has the most lines, but it's just like, he has a dodgy American accent.
Yeah.
Maybe. I can't even remember what he sounds like, but he sounds like somewhere a cross between Steve Carell and something else.
Is that the worst American accent you have? If you're doing Steve Carell, it's not the worst American accent you could have.
I'm just not a big fan of Doctor Strange in general, so I had a very meh reaction to it. Like, the comic books just weren't my jam. I don't dig real mystical kind of stuff in my comic. Like,
you're a sciencey type of dude.
I'm more of a sciencey kind of guy, but which is weird that I'm arguing that Constantine will work in Legends of Tomorrow, but. I think that I don't dig like the I don't dig the look of the character. I've never dug the look of
you don't like them fucking awesome cape flaps up top and this fucking like, mustache.
How do you like Cumber Baby?
Cumber bitch. I've never been a huge, you know, fan. I mean I get why people like him. He's very androgynous and, you know, very boring looking.
Well, not this time unless it's androgynous with a beard.
It could be. I mean,
out of all the Brit influenced or Brit invasion guys like Tom Hiddleston and Benedict Cumberbatch,
Tom Hardy.
I think he's one of the more effeminate ones, but I think Tom Hiddleston is probably the most effeminate one.
Tom Hiddleston,
Loki,
son of a bitch,
Loki.
He's incredibly
handsome.
Good.
He's talented. He's really good at impressions. If you hear him on like the late night
Cumberbatch.
Show. Yeah, they're both really good at impressions. But you don't like Dormammu? You don't like that whole mystical
side?
Yeah,
I don't really dig on that whole... I mean, even like Mephisto and Blackheart and stuff like that.
You're not a Ghost Rider fan?
I like Ghost Rider, though. Yeah. I do like Ghost Rider. But I like Ghost Rider when he's fighting corporeal kind of beings.
And not trying to just kill Satan.
Right. Like the storylines where people go to hell and all that. Like, I just don't dig it. Because it just feels weird to me where it's like, so... There's in Marvel, for example, there's like Hades, and then there's also like the like Mephisto, and then there's like kind of Satan, and so like aren't these all kind of the same person?
You don't like it when the comics try to bring in existing pantheons of gods in the real world. Yeah, that feels kind of like a cop out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels very cheap, and like I mean that's some of the problem that I've kind of had with Wonder Woman over the years, where like it's stealing a lot from Greek mythology, and then like you're kind of trying to bind it all together, and it's just not very fun for me.
I understand, yeah. I can get on board with that. I mean, Doctor Strange is not like a very... He's not the A-lister.
No, well, he ends up being... In the more recent comics, he's been kind of more of an A-lister, where like any type
end
of...
end up in the Avengers eventually?
I don't think so.
No, he's always kind of a low... Like, he's kind of the guy that everyone goes to whenever there's like a mystical problem that X-Men can't deal with. They'll go to Doctor Strange, like, shows up at the last panel, and they're like, I've got an answer for
this.
It's
like, when they can't science the shit of it, they go to him.
Right, exactly. And, like, there was a recent storyline that they kind of did.
They the same problem with the same thing with Dr. Fate, too.
Yeah, Dr.
Fate's
same
like,
type of thing.
We can't solve this, we can't science it, we can't brute force it, we're gonna go to Dr. Fate.
And see, like, the difference for me is that, like, John Constantine in the DC universe is badass and he's cool, so I'm like okay with him fucking mysticizing and occultizing these things. But like Doctor Strange, just like I just don't dig on the character too. Yeah. Like he's just not that interesting.
I understand.
I have a quick like general like comic book question. Mm-hmm. Like it always seems like at least in the Marvel universe that I've noticed is like it's usually sciencey. Everyone's kind of like sciencey, but then like the people who are like truly OP is like magic based people like Scarlet Witch.
She's a mutant though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
She's using mutant magic.
Mutant magic.
It's different. I mean, I'm trying to think of like straight up magic users in the Marvel universe.
Besides Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I mean,
I always
and Mephisto and those guys.
See, I guess that takes away my argument because I was the first person that came to mind was like Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch is ridiculously powerful. They did a whole storyline where she freaks out and says something like, no more mutants, and then all the mutants in the world disappear.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, it was
but
fucked up.
I think the rationale is, like, her genetic mutation, whatever her mutation is,
right.
affects quantum interaction around her, affects probability.
Right.
And she's able to control that. She's able to affect the quantum world. So there's, like, a scientific aspect to it.
Well,
where it's just, like, where you think of, it like, Thanos, who has the Infinity Gauntlet, just like, no, just, I will it, and it's done.
Yeah, see, like,
the gems don't have, like... a scientific function. It's right. just like, it's, no, these
that's
are the,
magic.
This right. is the cosmic forces that brought about
or like,
the universe.
Like the stick in Avengers where I poke you and now you have to do what I say. Like, yeah. that's fucking magic.
Well, yeah. here's the thing about magic is I always enjoy the paraphrased quote that like magic is simply science to
science that we can't understand yes. or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, but well, that's kind of what Thor says in his movie. He was like, "Some, you know, I."
Oh yeah,
you call it magic. We call it science. He's like, right. maybe yeah. it's a little bit of both, like, yeah. or whatever the fucking quote is. Like,
oh, he's like, she's like, oh, it's an Einstein-Rosen bridge wormhole. And he's like, oh, it's just a rainbow bridge. Like,
yeah, it's.
It shoots out of Heimdall's dick, and we ride it where we want to go.
And you know how glorious that thing is?
Oh, God. I would ride whatever shot out of Idris Elba's dick. Just putting that out there right now.
Or you would ride his dick until something shot out of it, yeah, one way or the other?
One or the other.
Alice! Have you guys ever seen Luther, by the way?
Luther's I saw good. The first two seasons.
He's just great.
He's great.
He's good.
It's solid.
Are you watching Doctor Strange cartoons?
Oh, I was watching the trailer and it's on.
He looks like, you know who Doctor Strange looks like in the cartoons? He looks like Vincent Price from the old Scooby Doo cartoons.
I think that's who they designed him off of, is Vincent Price.
He looks just like him.
He's creepy. He looks like Doctor Strange always looked like kind of a child molester to me.
Probably is. He solved the mystery.
Well,
that's where his powers come from.
A surgeon with very talented hands.
That's also probably what he did to lure kids into his van. Is like he showed them magic tricks until they fucking climbed into his van.
The character doesn't even kind of remind you of Ben Carson in a way.
What?
What?
I mean, like, kind of creepy, quiet, and like is a surgeon.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. Like Ben Carson. With gifted hands.
I'm not willing to go that far, but yeah.
Gifted hands, girl.
Yeah, Doctor Strange just feels very Silver Age to me.
Yeah.
He feels very much a product of, like, a specific time, and they try to cram him in. Like, kind of, he should kind of go the way of the Silver Surfer to me.
Well, because Silver Surfer's power is cosmic, right?
Right. Silver Surfer is a cosmic being. Yeah. But they don't really use him in the current Marvel continuity. He's just kind of, like, he's out there.
He's too powerful.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most insanely powerful characters. Yeah. Adam Warlock is another one.
Yeah.
Where, like, he kind of went away.
Are they going to bring him in as Star-Lord's father, do you think, for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Is that what they're kind of theorizing?
I think that's what they're going to do. Because I think you have something to go up against Thanos.
See, I've never been a big Marvel cosmic person.
Okay.
Like that's a big. I'm a street level guy. Like,
yeah,
I'm street level.
We're gonna talk about Marvel street level in just a minute here.
Okay.
But the fusions of science and magic in the Marvel universe I ever saw was when Silver Surfer got taken over by Carnage.
What?
Do you remember that?
I don't remember this.
The Carnage Cosmic when the Carnage symbiote left
Ivan,
Cassidy.
Are you familiar with Cosmic? Or no. With Carnage?
Oh, Carnage, absolutely.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I'm not familiar with the absolute mythos.
Spider-Man and Venom couldn't fucking take down Carnage, so Spider-Man calls in Silver Surfer, and then once Carnage sees, like Venom was, like, the actual Venom symbiote was afraid of Carnage, or Silver Surfer's power. But Carnage was like, fuck this guy. I'm going for the big daddy, and fuses with him. And so then Venom.
Takes him over?
With Silver Surfer. And then so Venom and Spider-Man have to team up to fucking take down.
Holy shit.
Carnage Cosmic, which was fucking. Oh, it was a great series.
Really? When was this?
Oh, this is like mid 90s. Look up Carnage Cosmic.
Okay. I would be. That sounds pretty cool.
It's fucking badass. But speaking of street level Marvel shit, we got some news on Daredevil. This week. So season 2 just wrapped, and we did a whole bunch of. Yeah, see, there's some pictures for you. Look how badass that shit looks.
It's Carnage riding a surfboard. Fucking badass.
Isn't that fucking badass?
You can't get much cooler than that.
It's fucking awesome.
It's like, also like the most 90s image I can imagine of Carnage
what did
riding
I tell you?
A surfboard.
What did I tell you?
It's totally tubular, dude.
Cowabunga, Spider-Man.
It's mid 90s. Like, it's as bad as mid 90s you can get.
Yeah.
But fucking awesome series. Anyway, and the cool thing is when Carnage leaves Cassidy, Cassidy's like fucking freak. See, like, click that fourth picture over right there.
Loses his shit.
Yeah, see, he freaks the fuck out. Like, he leaves him, and he's like, I'm alone, so alone. Like,
See, I was never a Spider-Man reader, somehow.
Oh, man, I like Spider-Man.
I like street-level stuff, I just don't like Spider-Man.
Like, 90s Spider-Man, I was, like, so into.
Well, like, Todd McFarlane Spider-Man?
Yeah. And...
Oh, okay.
Like, one of my favorite Spider-Man comics was when he fought Annex. Did you remember, do you ever hear of Annex?
No.
So, Annex was this villain, for some reason it resonated with me. He was a combat vet, and this is right after Gulf War.
Okay.
So he was a combat.
So this is like early 90s, though.
Yeah, like 93.
Okay.
He was Gulf War vet, and he came back and he lost a bunch of limbs to like IEDs and shit. So he lost an arm and a leg, and gotcha. So there, Oscorp was trying to like make a replace.
Is two limbs a bunch? I mean, you only got four, so I mean,
it's a pair.
It's a good chunk.
No,
50% is a bunch.
Because like, if someone just lost a leg, you would say he lost a limb.
It would be a pair.
He lost a few.
He lost one leg and one arm.
That'd still be a pair of limbs.
Yeah.
Like a bunch, I always think is like three or four or more.
Well, if you lose more than four limbs, then you've lost your head.
You've lost a bunch.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, a bunch in general, like a bunch of sticks.
Okay.
A bunch of dicks. bunch of pricks.
Man, you like your groupings of phallic objects.
A bunch of. Licks?
No, well, that's what you do to them, right?
Yeah, you gave a bunch of licks.
So Annex, Oscorp builds this suit that he's encased in. And basically, it's like a Star Trek transporter built into the suit. So they beam this material from Oscorp, and it beams into his suit, and he can regenerate whatever limb he needs. But
I do remember this.
And so he beams an arm.
Shit.
And then he's able to like change the suit, and starts beaming weapons and shit because he's a soldier, so he's got this like soldier mindset, and he's got PTSD.
Right.
And so he starts like thinking, well, I can be a super soldier, and then he starts going off the rails. So Spider-Man has to come in and be like, hey, you know, calm your shit down. But
And of course they fight,
but eventually it brings him around to being good. But I thought that was a really excellent series.
How come they don't use that character anymore?
I don't know. He was a good character. I liked him.
That sounds cool. Like and I do, and I do kind of remember it.
Especially pertinent for like, you know, now too. I mean, we're in the eternal war on terror, so we've got people coming home without limbs all the time. Be a good hero. One of my coworkers lost a limb in October. A couple of my clients have missing limbs.
Wow.
So it's like it's
current.
Yeah,
it plays.
It's applicable. It plays. Yeah.
Well, and like I was like one of the characters that I'm curious about, especially because like speaking of Daredevil, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
The character of Nuke, like they yeah. kind of brought him in season
Jessica
one.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah. It was in Jessica Jones. Yeah, that's what I meant. But like they brought him in, and like he's a character who hasn't been used in a fucking long time. Like he was in the Daredevil run, and then he got killed. But then he kind of came back more recently without really much of an explanation in a Punisher comic book.
Okay,
but like. That's a cool character, and he's like,
and
he's,
plays right. well. Yeah, he would play now,
especially with like kind of an anti-government vibe. Like he's like anti-Captain America kind of character, yeah. was like overly patriotic without thinking, mm-hmm. you know. And like, I like that.
Yeah, he'd be good to stick into the Netflix Daredevil stuff.
Yeah, he would be cool
as a parallel to what's going on with Marvel Civil War coming out.
I feel like what they should do is when Punisher gets his own series because.
It's at this point, it's inevitable.
Well, because Jon Bernthal's the fucking
yeah,
man.
Yeah, gotta give it to him.
Right.
Well, here's what they're gonna do, though, is what came out this week is they're gonna do a Defender series.
Yep.
I think Jon.
Well, they've said that.
That's been in the pipeline.
Yeah, Jon Bernthal's gonna get his own series too. Luke Cage is getting his own series. Mm-hmm. Jessica Jones is planning to go up for a renewal, and then
right.
so they're gonna build a Marvel telecinematic universe.
Mm. Wait, what? So they're gonna cross over into the cinemas?
Well, like television universe, their Marvel television universe. Like, so they already have Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Which kind of runs parallel to the movies, right? So they, like, mm-hmm. they've already been hinting this season of stuff that's going to happen in Captain
it's
America.
It's going to be a Marvel Netflix universe, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a Marvel
rated R universe.
Rated R Netflix universe. So they're tying, they're really smart. I gotta get handed to Marvel.
No,
Disney?
Fucking geniuses.
They're layering all these things together so they interact, and it's just hinting at it enough that you're really curious about how it might interact, but right. they're not just like saying, oh, we're all together, not banning it, everybody.
Do you see in the Defenders at one point Coulson shows up?
See, that would be kind of cool. They, like,
I'd
he drops
be down
in.
With that. I yeah. like Phil Coulson as a character.
But see, like, each Marvel character, a lot of Marvel characters, like the top tier guys, got the godly ones, the OP ones, right. the popular ones. They got their own movies. They weave them right. together into, like, groupings, in the Avengers movies. And now they started with Daredevil. They did with Jessica Jones. Luke Cage is going to get his.
Right.
And then they're going to do that, and they're going to start having, now they're going to have a Defenders, like, TV show. Like, where they're grouping. So it's going to be Iron Fist, Daredevil.
No, Danny Rand is always a white guy, though, in the comics, too.
Daredevil, Luke Cage.
They should have cast
him. And Jessica Jones. They're going to have a Defenders.
I like the idea of a Defenders. I would like a...
For, like, the street-level shit.
Right, well, and that's what I hope that they bring in a Phil Coulson for.
Yeah.
Is he kind of tells them, like, you're never going to be the Avengers. You're going to handle the stuff that is too small for the Avengers to handle, but it still needs to be handled.
Like, they only are, like, located in New York, though.
In Hell's Kitchen, yeah. It's like, Hell's Kitchen, your domain.
Well, but so is the fucking Avengers. What do they ever fucking do?
Yeah.
When they go to Eastern Europe, all they do is fucking destroy the whole fucking country, apparently.
Well, it was already lifting out of the fucking ground.
They could have found a way
they
to
They saved a lot
down.
Of people, too.
They did. They saved
a lot of
everybody.
Well, even Captain America made a point.
I know.
Like,
they make a point to say, like, hey, we're not Man of Steel. We're not Superman destroying things with, like,
no,
fucking people.
Well, Captain America said the mission is saving the people. That was, like, the mission. Mm-hmm. Like, he actually said that.
Yeah, we're not going to do it the way we did in New York with all these fucking people getting killed by these aliens.
Yeah.
The Chitauri.
But, like, if Coulson, like, if S.H.I.E.L.D., like, you know, they have their own, like, little territories and stuff.
Right.
Like, so people are kind of, I guess superheroes are kind of, like, territorial about their shit. So maybe Defenders can be New York's thing.
Well, I thought, like, the Avengers were always supposed to, like, handle, like,
worldwide, like,
world events,
planetary threats.
Like, cosmic events.
Yeah.
Do you think we ever get to a point where we get the West Coast Avengers?
They have Avengers West Coast.
They did in the 90s, but do you think they ever are going to do
in, like,
that?
The cinematic universe.
Maybe.
Like, West Coast Avengers where it's...
Well, isn't it already kind of starting with, like, Avengers 2.0?
Well, that's just cheap Avengers.
Which is basically what we're getting in... the
Civil War.
Well, and then Marvel is releasing S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Bobby and what's the other person's name? A couple of the characters, Bob and Hunter, are splitting off, and they're getting their own show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard that still that got stalled.
Is it stalled?
I heard. That's what I heard.
Well, because I think, and then also in the one of the more recent S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes, the Inhumans, they have, like, this. It's called the Secret Squad or something like that.
Yeah. So they're gonna get made into a movie.
Oh no, the Suicide Squad. That's DC. Uh-huh. The Secret Warriors project. So in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow, I completely didn't know.
I was talking about
the
Inhumans.
They're doing Secret Warriors. They've been recruiting slowly, in an episodic format, certain Inhumans around the world, and so then. Now it's coming towards season finale time, and, like, throughout the season, like, they're like, oh, well, we've met this chick in Buenos Aires who can move, Yo-Yo, who can move really fast temporarily within a heartbeat.
Wait, so the Secret Warriors are supers?
They're Inhumans.
Oh, that's weird. So but not
they're taking the place for mutants in the Marvel Cinematic.
Okay.
Yeah, because Sony still has the rights to...
Yeah.
Fox.
Fox, sorry.
That's weird because in the comics the Secret Warriors were like street level too, like
they are street level. So like there's Yo-Yo's in Buenos Aires cleaning up shit in Buenos Aires. There's another guy in San Francisco.
Is there Night Thrasher? Is Night Thrasher in there?
Not yet.
Do you think they're gonna bring
Maybe.
In Night Thrasher?
I don't know. But see, there's the thing is like so
you would love this Night Thrasher character.
They're moving towards the season finale, and now they're calling all of them in to assemble to face the threat. That Hydra brought back this Inhuman from Malekith.
Secret Warriors assemble.
Yeah.
Two questions.
Yeah.
One. What do you think the Inhumans movie is going to be about? Because it's got to be more than just... You don't think Chloe Bennett is going to be given the keys to that vehicle? I would totally love that because I'd love Chloe Bennett.
No, it's...
As Daisy.
I don't know.
The Inhumans are... They're...
The movie.
Yeah. No, it's... I can think of the character. He's blue and he's fucking big and I can't think of the name of the character, but... if you look up Inhumans, it's like the most obvious Inhumans character. I was never, again, Inhumans is
I haven't read too much Inhumans.
Yeah,
to
I was never
with.
A Inhumans guy.
But here's the thing that I love about the Marvel Universe is they're taking all these characters I could give a shit less about.
Yeah, they're taking,
making you give a shit about
They're taking them. The dregs.
Yeah, and they're making it work because they're just like, fuck, we sold off all the rights to all our big ones.
All the good ones.
Well, and, but the cool thing about this is, you can't really be disappointed unless you're like an avid fan of the, mm-hmm. these. Like, so they say they make like Superman, you're like fucking disappointed because like you have all these preconceptions about what Superman's supposed to be, what Batman's right. supposed to be. But like, who the fuck knows? Like,
what Ant-Man's supposed to be,
like Quake or Ant-Man or like, you know, their characters haven't fully fleshed out into the public consciousness and the collective consciousness.
So that leaves it. It's so more fertile ground,
yeah,
to develop these characters,
yeah. It's harder to go wrong
right.
with something that hasn't really gone
been
right
tested.
Because it's almost like you're creating a character versus exactly. like recycling or rehashing a character.
But creating a character is incredibly hard.
Yeah.
But they're not really creating a character because they're falling back on like...
On, yeah, well...
Years
they,
of
they
comic
have
lore.
They have
a template.
Like a template to follow, yeah. but like they flesh it out really fucking
well. Yeah, no, no. I'm not saying they don't do a great job of it, but it's like that's the trick that they play is they're like, oh, hey, you've never heard of this guy. He's brand new.
But again, like
Big
in
Blue guy, who's
movie,
that guy?
Like right now, Chloe Bennett's Daisy is the de facto leader of
the Inhumans. Yeah, she's the one that's recruiting all of them.
She's literally the daughter of the leader.
Yeah,
this dude who kind of looks like Captain America.
Yeah, he does. He looks like a Venom Captain America.
I can't remember the name
with
of
with an arrow pointing to his dick.
Because
sometimes I don't remember where it is
either.
Because
I don't remember his... Yeah, he's got to have a pathway.
The Night Thrasher, just so you know, Ivan,
mm-hmm.
is an African-American kid
mm-hmm.
who wears kind of like a ninja costume, and he fights with two, like, kind of clubs. Like
Tonfas?
Like...
No, like a Screama.
Okay.
Like,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and he just beats the shit out of people.
But that's kind of like Daredevil in a way.
He's kind of more... But he has no powers. So he's kind of more badass.
Kind of like,
I would assume he's more athletic because he's African.
So he's kind of like Nightwing. So he's kind of like
Nightwing. Sweeping generalization.
So is he like a Marvel Nightwing, basically?
Yeah, somewhat similar to Marvel's Nightwing. Yeah, it's he's actually a really cool character. I was a big
like,
fan of him.
What is his character like?
How does he act?
Who is he as a person?
Jesus. He.
You just like the fact that he's like fights with his Screama sticks and fucking like.
Yeah, I was a fan of this character in like again like the early mid 90s, and I just like he was a character who won me over essentially just based on the look. I don't know if I ever,
but that's a very good point because that's how most comic book characters won any kid over in the 90s,
or not even comic book characters. How fucking Boba Fett. Who the
yeah.
fuck gives a shit about a Boba Fett? He looked like a badass, so you yeah. were like, okay, like I'm in.
And he did badass shit, but nobody fucking knew the character.
He did. I would argue, like even in what did he really do that was like that badass?
Well, all the
fell
stuff,
into the Sarlacc pit.
All the stuff,
totally like a boss.
All the stuff he did is stuff was hinted at, never shown.
Right,
so like
exactly.
we had this grandiose idea of it. That's what made him badass is that
yes.
we didn't know.
Yeah.
But like remember in Empire when they're on the bridge and he's recruiting the bounty hunter and he's like
no disintegrations.
Like. Okay, this yeah. fuck guy fucking disintegrates people without that being like being asked to like,
but I mean,
against other people's will. Like
he's rocking badass armor and he just looks cool. Like it, I mean, that was what captured your imagination. So like as a kid, when I saw the Night Thrasher, I was like, fuck yeah, dude! Like because he looks like somebody that I could be.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you could be this dude. You could throw on a ninja costume, pick up two of Screama sticks, jump off roofs, and fucking hit people in the head with it. Like
yeah.
I could do that shit. So, like, that was kind of, like, the motivation. I have some of the Secret Warriors and Secret Defenders comics, and then I have, like, I think, like, one or two Night Thrasher, he had his own title.
He had a solo?
A solo book for, like, maybe a hot minute. Like, there might have been, like, you know, 10 issues. I
Flash
got, like,
in the
two
pan.
Of them. Yeah, I got them with chrome covers. That's how much I liked it. I was,
wow.
like, chrome cover it. I know almost.
That was a whole $10.
Dude, it was like $10 in 1990. So it was like
$1 million
today. Like, I would have been able to buy a house with those things.
Oh.
So here's my second question to you.
Yeah.
And it involves Grant Ward.
Uh huh.
I haven't
Who's
seen.
Grant Ward?
Grant Ward is was a Hydra sleeper agent who was
This is in
Agents of
Shield.
He was an agent of Shield. He was like our analog character.
One of the agents of Shield.
Yeah.
Well, he was a plant.
He started off as the analog for the audience,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, oh,
I thought
I'm
that was
level
Coulson.
7. No. It's always been kind of like
in the
goes between
it's Coulson.
Well, I mean, yes, but in his own show, he kind of shifts over to like wise old man, role, and then
he becomes the Nick Fury.
Yeah, it vacillates between Grant Ward and
God, what's her name? What was her original name?
May?
Sky.
Oh, Sky. Yeah.
Yeah. Sky, who eventually becomes Daisy Johnson. But like when he's revealed to be a Hydra sleeper agent, which is like everyone was like, "What the fuck?" And he plays it really well, like surprisingly well for primetime television. Like that entire like story arc was really for primetime television, mm-hmm. very captivating.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he in this season he becomes
some
sort of alien thing.
The last season he Ward got trapped on Malekith. So Hydra's whole aim was to
open the first part
of the season. They a couple of people from the SHIELD team got trapped on Malekith, which is a planet that Hydra's been trying to open a portal to reclaim an Inhuman that was trapped there.
Okay.
And that was like their whole thing for like thousands of years, trying to get this in massive Inhuman.
Oh, really?
Back. Yeah.
Is that why they were like messing with the Tesseract and shit?
Exactly. They're trying to like.
No shit. I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Yeah. So they finally open the.
Spoilers.
They get the long story
you
short.
You heard the bumper.
Coulson kills Ward on the planet. The Inhuman they're trying to get back assumes Ward's body, comes back through the portal, and is now taking control of Hydra.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's where they're at right now.
So here's my question to you. I originally thought, and I thought this would have been an amazing like reveal, is that do you think it would have been better if it was revealed he was Taskmaster?
Are they bringing Taskmaster into the show?
Wait, how
the fuck do you know Taskmaster?
Who was Taskmaster? That Ward was?
Yeah. I think that would have been cool if Ward ended up being Taskmaster.
That would be cool, except that it would kind of...
I don't think they can bring Taskmaster in.
Why? Is it
he's
part
a mutant.
Of X-Men?
He's a mutant.
Is he?
I thought
he was Hydra?
I believe Taskmaster is a mutant.
Well, it's okay. They can still bring him in because they call them powered people.
Okay.
So...
But I don't think they own the license to Taskmaster because he's part of the X-Men franchise. Because... If I remember correctly, Taskmaster's mutant ability is to be able to mimic anybody he's fought before.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
And he's a mutant, right?
Well, I don't...
Which, by the way...
It would really depend on where he showed up in X-Men, I think.
He hasn't shown up in X-Men at all.
Well, that's the thing. If not, I don't think they have rights to it.
But just like Deadpool hadn't shown up for a long time, but they had rights to him.
It kind of conflicts with the overall plan, I think, of Marvel, which is to kind of build the universe out. Build the universe out so that there's other worlds, that there are more powerful beings out there in anticipation of Infinity War. Because Infinity War is going to spill over to the entire Marvel cinematic thing. It's going to go into the TV shows. It's going to go into Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So they're going to bring in...
It's an Infinity War. It's infinite. It's everywhere.
So they're going to bring in, like, Daredevil's going to be fighting beside Captain America and shit?
There's going to be elements of the war that are going to spill over into the shows. I don't think they're going to go into each other.
I want them to do the... Do you remember the Infinity Gauntlet storyline?
Yeah, I've read it.
Okay. Issue 4, I believe, is where the heroes do battle with with Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
And the heroes basically just sacrifice themselves so Silver Surfer can take a shot at stealing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
If they did that scene where it's like fucking Thanos just decimating everybody in the Marvel universe, are you familiar with this?
I've never. Bear in mind my
limited comic book.
Limited. Okay. I just happen to know things.
Okay, I'll sum up very quickly. Basically, they do a story where Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet. Adam Warlock decides that he's going to stop Thanos, and him and the Silver Surfer make this plot kind of using all of the Marvel heroes as pawns. And what they do is they know Thanos is very arrogant and trying to woo this chick. And so the
death.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so while he's trying to woo her, he will do it by showing his strength by fighting the Marvel heroes as just straight up. Like, I'm going to fight them without, like, you know, just blinking them out of existence like I can. And so they basically sacrifice all of the Marvel heroes to give the Silver Surfer one shot while Thanos isn't looking to swoop in and steal the gauntlet. But the entire issue 4 of Infinity Gauntlet, is Thanos just wrecking shop on all of these dudes. It's fucking like
it's a slaughterhouse. It's like
my favorite one, or I have two favorites. One is that Cyclops shoots a beam at Thanos, and Thanos goes, thinks of like, okay, you have a box on your head now, and then he has a box on his head that his beam can't break, and he suffocates him because there's no air in there. The other one is that Wolverine sneaks up on him, is able to actually surprise Thanos, stabs him in the chest with his adamantium claws, and Thanos goes, your bones are now sponge. And he turns into his bones into sponge and just like falls to the ground helpless and all shriveled up. It's fucking badass. And he does that to everybody in the Marvel Universe, basically. So if they do that with like all of the existing like TV characters, like, and movie, oh, it'd be so fucking
I don't think they'll do that because there's too much riding on those heroes for them to be all killed.
But then they all come back at the end. That's true. I mean, fucking Adam Warlock. Well,
let's face it. All of the Marvel Cinematic Universe has banked on that, too. Everybody dies and comes back.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I would argue that they could kill them off because some of them are too expensive now. So they're going to be killing them off
or
so they
old.
Can make room for the cheap Avengers.
Or yes. Too old. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr., he's too expensive and getting too old.
Yep. Well, Robert Downey Jr. could keep doing it because he's wearing a suit. So it's not like you're going to really feel it as much.
Yeah.
You know, like Captain America can only be Captain America while he still looks young.
You guys think he's going to get shot at the end of Civil War?
Like he does in the comics? Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the ones to go.
Yeah, he's been kind of grooming the next event leader of the Avengers, Falcon yeah. anyway.
And in the comics, Falcon is Captain America. America.
Right.
And Falcon fucking, like in Ant-Man, he's the one who's guarding the Avengers Fortress.
That's because he's playing bitch, though. Mm-hmm.
well, we've got a great Marvel Cinematic. We got a month left, less than a month, a couple weeks left until Civil War comes out. So we're definitely have to cast on that in a couple weeks.
Are we gonna go watch that? Are we gonna do it in style?
Yeah, we'll do it.
It's a 2.5 hour movie. It's a chunky movie.
Let's do it. Let's
do the Lauder Sinopolis.
Let's do Sinopolis. We'll get the whole cast together and we'll go out there.
Yeah. We'll do a mega cast.
And then we'll have it all ready for you.
Mega cast.
Mega cast. Well, and then until next time, you've been Nerd Funneled. I'm having a good time. Shooting star, leaping through the sky.